Before I get into our message this morning, I want to do a little survey of the congregation. How many of you here this morning, within the last 2 weeks, have had a day that you just thoroughly enjoyed? Now, maybe something happened that, or a lot of things happened. You got a lot of work done. Or one particular job that's been occupying your attention for a long time, you finally brought it to a conclusion. Or something wonderful happened to you, some type of blessing. But you just had, at the end of the day, you said, my, that was a fantastic day. How many in the last 2 weeks you've had one of them? Well, that's pretty good. I like that. Let me go the opposite direction. How many here this morning are anticipating within the next 2 weeks that you're going to have one of those days and you are really excited about, like a young person who's waiting for Christmas to come, just can't wait for it? Maybe somebody's coming to visit that you haven't seen for a while, or you know there's a check in the mail that you've been waiting for, and or something along those lines. You're expecting one of those days within the next 2 weeks. Wonderful. That's fantastic. Third question. For those of you who have raised your hand this morning, whether it be something that happened in the past or something that you're expecting in the future, how many of you want to go either back in time and live that day again or propel yourself into the future and live it now? Wait a minute. If those days were so fantastic, why no one raised their... Oh, you can't do that, can you? You can't live in the past, and you can't live in the future. You can only live today. As we grow older, and if you're my age or older, you probably think of days gone by more appreciatively than future days. Days gone by when you could do things either more or more easily in body than you can now. That makes them pretty good. If you're 20 years or younger, you're looking forward to days when you can do things that you can't do now. It gives perspective. But whether you're young or old or anywhere in between, the fact of the matter is, you can only live today. And we need to live today for all it's worth. That's what Solomon addresses in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 in the first 10 verses. And this morning, I want you to consider how to live for the day. Three things that I want to give you this morning as to what Solomon tells us on how to live each day of our lives. And the first, Bobby, I think you did this thing. Why is not my slide advancing? There we go. Matthew's playing games with me back there. First thing that we need to do in living each day is to live with knowledge. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. The key word here is the word know. We need to live with knowledge. And the first thing that we see in this verse is knowledge that God has a perfect will for my life and your life too. God's will is perfect because God is perfect. Everything that God does perfectly. And if he has designed a will for you, which he has, that will ultimately is a perfect will. Consequently, if you seek to do anything other than the will of God, do you know what kind of will you're attempting to accomplish? An imperfect will. Something less than perfect. If you are designing to live your life apart from the will of God, you're getting at the very best, second best. You're getting something less than perfect. God's will is always perfect. Now, in the will of God, there may be some things that you deem I'm not too appreciative of. Some things that may at the outset seem contrary to you, or antagonistic to you, or not beneficial to you. And I think that's what he's talking about here at the end of the verse where it says, no man knoweth either love or hatred. Some of the things that come from the hand of God, you might say to yourself, how can a loving God do that to me? Doesn't seem right. Or from the other aspect, how is it that God who hates sin allows sinners to multiply and to be blessed? So some of the things that you can't know, at least immediately, but may I say to you, if God has designed a perfect will for you and he holds you responsible for the accomplishment of that will, and he does, doesn't he? If God holds you responsible for the accomplishment of his will, therefore his will must be knowable before a person attempts to do it. Oftentimes we try to discern the will of God by what happens. And if the result of something that we involve ourselves in is good, we say, well, it had to be the will of God. And if the result of whatever it is that we've attempted is not so good, we say, well, that couldn't have been the will of God. We look at the will of God retroactively instead of proactively. Nothing could be further from the truth than doing that. Let me give you an example. You're standing on the corner of a busy intersection. Cars are just streaming all over the place. And you say to yourself, I wonder if it's the will of God if I should cross now. Well, I don't know if it is or not, but I'm going to do it. And therefore, if it's the will of God, I'll get across. And if I don't make it, well, I guess it's not his will. How many of you would say, that's a good way of figuring out God's will? Not too bright, is it? We need to determine God's will before we choose to do or not do something, not afterwards. If God has a perfect will, and you're responsible to accomplishing that will, we need to know what that will is. And we start out with the fact that whatever that will is, it's perfect. Even if it may include some things that we don't particularly like. For example, how many people look forward to going to the dentist to have a tooth pulled? Hey, I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm getting this tooth pulled. But if you don't get the thing pulled, and it has to be, there's bigger trouble down the road. We need to know that God's will is perfect. Verse 2, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. And is good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. We need to live with knowledge that today is the only day in which God's will can be accomplished. In verse 2, he's talking about one event that comes to all, regardless of who you are, and that one event is death. Who knows when your death will take place? How many years do you have to live? Well, we don't know. James tells us that life is like a little cloud. Actually, the idea is the fog in the morning. It's there for a while, and then all of a sudden it's gone. In another month and a couple of weeks, I'll be turning 65. 25 more days and I'm on Medicare. Woohoo! It doesn't seem like I've lived that long. Seems like just yesterday I was in high school. Where'd the time go? Well, it's just a cloud that appears for a little while and then poof, it's gone. If the Lord allows, I'd like to be around for another 25 or so years or more. But who knows, on the way home from services this morning, the Lord might say, Reiner, you've had enough. We don't know how much time we have left. All we know with absolute certainty is we have today. The Lord Jesus in the New Testament was telling a story about a father who had two sons. And he said to his sons, go work in my field today. The first son said, I will go, but he didn't. The second son said, I'm not going, but he had a change of mind too and went. Now the purpose of the story was to talk about who was really the obedient one. But in the story, he said to his sons, go work. This is what I want you to do. In my field is the where I want you to do it. Today is the time in which it needs to be done. God's will includes all three of those things. God's will is specific as to what he would have you to do, where he would have you to do it, and when he wants it done. And if those sons, either one of them, had said, well, you know what, I'm busy today, I'll go tomorrow, they would have been out of the will of God. God said, go work in my field today. We have today to accomplish God's will. When the day is over, unless God reiterates that same will tomorrow, we can't go back and do it again. We might not even be here tomorrow. Third thing that we need to see here about living with knowledge is found in verse 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. We need to live with knowledge that the world and the devil will seek to thwart the will of God. We tend to think that, okay, here's God's will, piece of cake. After all, it is God's will. God's will is always something that's easy to be done. And we forget that there is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he can't touch me. Or can he? Well, if I'm walking in the Spirit, no, he can't. But if I nonchalantly in my own flesh seek to go about the will of God, I'm lunch. We need to understand that God's will just doesn't happen, or that it just doesn't happen easily all the time. There are trials, there are tribulations, there are persecutions to endure, Scripture enjoins us. And when they come, first of all, we're not to be surprised. But secondly, we're to understand that we need to keep at the task till it's done. Don't give up. Don't retroactively say, oh, can't be the will of God. Live with knowledge. So the first thing on our to-do list for today is to discern the will of God. When we wake up each and every morning, the first thing that should be on our minds is, what is God's will for us today? But not only do we need to live with knowledge, we also need to live with purpose. Verse 4, for him that is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, when you read this and you think of a dog, you're thinking of Spot or Fido or some cute little cuddly thing that's going to hop up on the sofa next to you, lay its chin on your lap, and you're going to sit there stroking it. That's not the dog they're talking about. This is a wild dog, one that runs in packs and devours things. It's not a domesticated dog. In the normal scheme of things, a lion, the king of the jungles, would eat a dog. But a dead lion is eaten by the dog because the power is gone. We need to live with purpose. The purpose is that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We walk about this world as dogs. When compared to the adversary who's seeking to devour us, we don't stand a chance. Jude says even the angel, the archangel Michael, who when contending with the devil about the body of Moses, dared not bring a railing accusation against him, but invoked the name of God. And in our own flesh, in our own power, we're powerless to accomplish things. But the apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. And I want you to know, the lion that roams about seeking whom he can devour, the dead lion. We need to live with purpose. If I am giving my all to accomplishing the will of God and I'm walking in the Spirit, there is nothing that can stop me. Verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing at not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. We need to live with purpose because each day brings us closer to being with Christ, which is far better. I've got a job to do. Who knows how long it is? But one of these days, I'm going to go home and be with Christ. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I forget the exactness of the conversation, but we were talking about life and death, and they said about death, and they said, well, or they were talking about life, and they said, it sure beats the alternative. I said, no, it doesn't. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait between two things, to abide with you, which is a good thing, but to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Like I said, I'd love to hang around for another 25 or so years. I have grandkids I want to spoil some more. I'm hoping one of these days I have some great grandkids that I'm really going to spoil. I get spoiled by my wife every day. Where is she? You didn't say amen. And as wonderful as all those things are, to be out of here and to be in glory with Christ Jesus is far better. Because there's something that happens after that, verse 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. When a person dies, that's it. Except for the believer in Jesus Christ. We can live with purpose because what we do for the Lord lasts eternally. You know that great Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in green pastures, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Then what does he say? My cup runneth over. Not I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Something before that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. In other words, everything that we do in time for the Lord lives on into eternity, because at the Bema Seat judgment, there will be a crown given to it. And that crown is cast back, I believe, at the feet of Jesus, but it never, ever disappears. He never throws it out. In other words, then, because there's a will that's perfect for you and I, when we discern that will, we can go about it with vigor and vitality, with gusto. Go at it like there is no tomorrow. Because there may not be. But when we accomplish it, the benefits of it last forever. Live with a purpose. But there's a third thing here. Oh, second thing on our to-do list, not only discern the will, is to do the will. But the third thing about living for the day is live with joy. Verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts thy works. Because a person has trusted Christ, their works are accepted of him as they seek to do his will. And he says, I want you to go, and I want you to eat your bread with joy. When you sit down to the dinner table, don't say, oh man, meatloaf again. Drink thy wine. By the way, here, the wine here in biblical times is nothing like what we have today. It was so watered down, it was practically non-alcoholic. Practically. Drink it with joy. I want you to live with joy in the mundane things of life, in the things of eating and drinking and that type of stuff. I want you to do what you do, that just a commonplace thing, with joy. There's a movie that I like to watch on TV whenever they show it. It's called The Rookie. Anyone have seen the movie The Rookie? It's a story about Jim Morris. Jim Morris was a professional baseball player. He was in the minors for a little while, and it didn't work, and went off and was teaching in a high school. And they had an open tryout. And he tried out, never expecting to get back into the majors. And they accepted him. Well, he started off in double-A ball and quickly got promoted up into triple-A ball. But the end of the season was coming up, and he was having a difficult time making ends meet at home. He was sending his paychecks home, and his wife and his two kids were really having trouble making ends meet on the little salary that he was getting. And he was really wondering, you know, here I am, and I'm in AAA, and I'm not going anywhere again. Is it really worth it? And he was ready to quit. And his wife encouraged him to hang in there for the rest of the season. Well, that night he went out, and there was a little league game playing across the street from where he was, and he was just watching the little kids playing baseball. And after it was over, he got a smile on his face. The next frame of the movie shows him going back into the clubhouse the very next day, and he says to one of the younger guys who was there, he said, today we get to play ball. Had lost the joy of the game. And this is what Solomon is saying. In the mundane things, do them with joy. Eat your meals, drink your drinks with joy. Not only that, in the spiritual things, look at the verse 8, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Now, the garments here speak oftentimes in Scripture symbolically of the things that we do in righteousness. The church is adorned herself with the garments of righteousness in the book of Revelation. The ointment here oftentimes refers to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying here is, in the everyday things that you do, recognize that doing righteously is joyous. I remember as a kid, long before I came to know Christ as my Savior, I didn't want to go to church on Sundays. I did everything I could to keep my brother silent on Sunday mornings, because if he made noise, then it woke my parents up. And if my brother didn't make any noise, then my parents might sleep, and it would be too late to go to church. That was before I knew Christ as my Savior. Now I can't wait to get here. Wish we had church services 7 days a week. But we look at some things in the will of God and we say, I guess I have to read my Bible today. Do you realize you get to read your Bible every day? That should excite us. Hey, here's the Word of God. God wants to speak with me today. And rather than, do I have to listen to Him again? Well, I should have some prayer time, I guess. Instead of, hey, God wants to hear from me. Live with joy in the mundane things and the spiritual things and the personal things. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For this is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. In your personal relationships with people, Roy, you're our designated person to pick on. The phone rings. Carol says, it's Roy. That's okay. Phone rings and I look at it and I say to Carol, it's Rosemary. And the only way I can say that this morning is because I appreciate Roy immensely and Carol appreciates Rosemary and vice versa. And I can make fun about it. Get people that get under your skin? Of course they do. Remember from the first point, not everything in the will of God seems necessarily good, but it's always perfect. And even those people that sometimes get under your skin, God has them there for a perfect purpose. Then fourthly, in the physical things of life, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor yet wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. In the things that you do, whether it be going to school in the morning or to work or cleaning and dusting and all the things that a person might do at home or whatever it is that the Lord would have you to do, say, this is the opportunity today to be a servant of the Most High God. Oh, wait a minute, a servant of the Most High God? That's a privilege, not a chore. So today on our to-do list, discern the will of God, do the will of God, enjoy the will of God. And guess what comes after that? If you've discerned the will of God and you've done the will of God and enjoyed the will of God, you know what else God has for you to do today? Absolutely nothing. Because there is no more than that. You get that, you've lived today. How's your day going? What's in the will of God for you for the rest of this day? How much energy are you going to put into accomplishing it? Will you enjoy it? How you answer those questions will determine how much you live today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this old, old book. And as we began the service this morning, I'd love to tell the story. This old, old story is a good story because it's still important, it's still beneficial, it still works today. Father, may we all have a heart first to discern your will. May we all have a will to accomplish your will. And may we all have a mind to enjoy your will. And in all these things, may Jesus Christ be praised. To that end, we ask it in his wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.